Last week we looked at, well, we sort of had a bit of a look in the context of the resurrection, that Jesus is raised from the dead, and today, and maybe in going forward, I want to look at the kingdom of God. First of all, just prefacing that remark by the idea that when we normally think of a kingdom, we think of some realm, some area over which a king or a queen reigns. For example, the United Kingdom, England, Wales and Scotland, the United Kingdom, Northern Ireland, over which the Queen of England reigns. However, with God, the kingdom of God is not so much some realm as his rule, spiritually speaking. And so we're going to be looking at it from more from that point of view. So if just up front we can have that understanding, the rule of God, the rule of God. I just want to start off with a comment that the Lord Jesus made shortly after he'd asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And we know the answer. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus commended him, saying, "You have not worked this out with your head. You haven't joined a whole lot of theological dots together. You have received revelation from my Father in heaven." And shortly after that, in Mark's Gospel, we're looking at it in chapter 9. Just want to look at one verse there, the first verse of Mark chapter 9, where Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you that there will be some that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Till they have seen the rule of God, the kingdom of God come with power. And of course, Jesus was speaking in particular then of the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, the kingdom of God came with power. Paul tells us that, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And so, last week we looked briefly at Jesus before Pilate. Just a couple of verses, and I just want to reiterate those now. In John chapter 18, where Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." His kingdom is not of this world. It's not a kingdom like any of the kingdoms on this world. In fact, his kingdom is spiritual. It's in the spirit. And Pilate says to him, after that, he says, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered and said, "You say I'm a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." So we're seeing two things about the kingdom. Firstly, that it's not of this world. And secondly, that it's characterized by truth. Truth. Jesus had said to the Samaritan woman, "Now is the time the Father seeks those to worship him who worship in spirit and in truth." Spirit and truth. Two characteristics of the kingdom of God. That is all just before he was crucified. Anyway, that very day, Jesus was crucified, and 3 days later, we know he rose from the dead. And after that, he appeared to his disciples, to quite a number of people whose hearts were sympathetic with his, who were interested in the truth, but only to those sorts of people. And finally, we see him after he'd been appearing to people for 40 days. 40 days he was appearing to people. We see him in Acts chapter 1, just before he ascends back to his Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says that he showed himself alive after his passion, his crucifixion, etc., by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus is risen from the dead, and the next major event on the divine calendar is, after he ascends to his Father, the next major event on the divine calendar is that Jesus is going to come back to this earth and establish a 1,000-year reign, kingdom. And just before he ascends, it says that he spent 40 days speaking to them concerning the kingdom of God. Concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, you have heard of me. This is the promised Spirit that he spoke about on the eve of his crucifixion. For John truly baptized with water, John the Baptist, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It was going to be 10 days later that the Spirit would come. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Their thinking, of course, is that he is going to be king. He's now risen from the dead. He's spoken to them for 40 days of things pertaining to the kingdom. And their thinking is, are you now going to set the Romans aside and set up your kingdom? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Kingdom of God will come with power. And you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So they are looking for the kingdom and they're thinking, Lord, is it now? Is it going to happen now? And what they're thinking of is when Jesus comes back to rule on the earth. Now, they haven't heard yet of a 1,000-year reign. That doesn't get revealed until the book of Revelation, which they didn't have at that time. But they are believing that Jesus is going to set up a kingdom on earth. And they're thinking it's now. But he says to them, no. He does not even talk about his kingdom on earth. He starts talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, they're thinking of Christ coming to set up his kingdom on earth. And at that time, we who know have read the book of Revelation, we know that when he comes to do that, he will be coming with his people. He'll be coming with all the saints, all those who have gone before and died throughout the centuries, and also those who have been raptured and gone to be with him. He's going to bring them all and he's going to set up his kingdom on earth, 1,000-year reign. He's coming with his saints, with his people, to establish his 1,000-year reign. But now he says to them, you're going to receive power and you're going to be witnesses to me. He said to Pilate, to this end and for this cause, I was born and I came to earth to bear witness to the truth. That is what we are here for, just the same as him, to be witnesses to the truth. So when he talks about receiving power of the Holy Spirit and being witnesses to him, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, he's talking about our being witnesses to the truth, just the same as he was during his whole time here on earth. Pentecost came, and after Pentecost, there was a different view of things. Just go over to Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul says, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, Of the times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need that I write to you. Remember, Jesus said the times and seasons the Father has set in his own authority. Paul says to these believers now who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, I don't need to write to you about the times and seasons. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, comes at a time completely unexpected. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now Jesus said, the times and seasons the Father has put in his own authority. But now Paul is saying, you are not in darkness. And that day when Jesus comes is not going to overtake you as a thief. It's not going to come completely unexpected. When he comes for us individually, it can be completely unexpected. So unless, you know, you're particularly sick and you know that you're right on death's doorstep, we don't really know when he's going to come for us individually. But what Paul is talking about here is when the Lord comes to receive his own, the rapture and the resurrection. This is not the second coming. This is not when he comes back with us joining him to set up his kingdom. This is when he comes to take us to himself out of tribulation. He says they're going to say at the time that Jesus comes for us, peace and safety. That's obviously not during the second half of the last 7 years, when wrath of God is poured out on the earth. It's earlier than that. But the fact is, Paul is saying that you're going to have some sort of idea, some sort of expectation when the time draws near for Jesus to come. Just as when he came the first time, John the Baptist was aware, Anna was aware, Simeon was aware, John the Baptist's parents were aware. There was a few people, a remnant of people, who were aware when Jesus first came. When he comes for us, there are certain indications that we can be aware that he is very near. And Jesus actually says that. He says in the Olivet Discourse, when you see these things happening, we're going to have a little look at those things. He says, look up, for your redemption draws near. In other words, we can have some awareness. But because this kingdom is spiritual, it's a spiritual kingdom, it's not of this world, it is necessary that we have some discernment, some understanding that the Spirit of God gives us. And the only place we are going to get that understanding is from the Scriptures. So if we're going to have any idea of when the time is drawing near for Jesus to come to take us to himself, we need to know the Scriptures. That's the main thing. But there are secondary things too. Throughout the last 2,000 years, there have been a number of occasions when the church has thought Jesus is just about to come to take us to himself, to rapture us to himself. But on those different occasions, there was a few occasions, there was one vital ingredient that had to be in place for Jesus to return to this earth, which wasn't there, was absent. And that vital ingredient was Israel gathered in their own land. The prophets prophesied in the Old Testament on a number of occasions, I will bring you from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, back to your own land. Now we know that in 1948, 70 years ago, Israel was gathered back to their own land. And for the last 70 years, Jews from various countries throughout the earth have been returning to Israel. So that's one sign that, hey, we could be drawing towards the end of the age. I'm going to mention a couple more. The reconfederation of the Roman Empire is taking place now toward what is increasingly becoming a non-democratic Europe. The reference there, Daniel chapter 2 verse 44 and 9 verse 26 and 27, refers to this, refers to a reconstituted Roman Empire prior to the Lord's return. That is happening at this present time. There is an unprecedented increase in wars, plagues, we've had one for 2 years now, and famines mentioned by Jesus as the beginning of sorrows. He mentions that in Matthew 24 in the Olivet Discourse. That's happening now. Of course, wars, plagues, and famines have been happening for the last 2,000 years, but these days there is an unprecedented increase in these. There is increasing severe meteorological changes and documented increase in seismic activity, earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis. All of that is happening. In fact, we were told in 1990 that because of climate change, we had 12 years before the Earth was going to be unlivable. It was an existential threat in 1990. 2002, that didn't happen. But we were told the same thing again, another 12 years. This is Al Gore and his company. 2014, it didn't happen, but we were told the same thing again. Watch out, 2026. Jesus said the earth isn't going to be destroyed. Well, he's watching. Environmental pollution. We see that happening in a major way. And when we read the book of Revelation, we see that there are many things there that are connected with that. A rapidly growing trend towards globalization of the world economy. That is happening right now. They want to make a one world economy. This is looking for Revelation 13. No man can buy or sell except he has the mark of the beast. Geopolitical disturbances. Failure of Western democracy. That's happening right now. These things are prophesied when we read Zechariah, when we read the prophets, these things are prophesied. There is a global rejection of the Judeo-Christian values. We know that in our own country, especially in the Western world where the Judeo-Christian values have been most strongly kept. The growth in surveillance, medical, military and communications technology, again, is global and extraordinary and working towards what we see, the sorts of things that we see in the book of the Revelation. Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first few verses, and to the Romans in chapter 1, verses 24 to 32, we see it on the board there, about the moral conditions among the nations degenerating to a significant degree. We see all that. And Jesus said the gospel is going to be preached in all nations before he comes. Wherever there's a mobile phone, a smartphone on the earth these days, the gospel gets there, even if a missionary hasn't gone. These are just a few of the things that we can see in the scriptures prophesied or pointed to, but they're all happening right now, and they're happening on a global scale. Now, I'm not suggesting that because we see these things, therefore we come to the conclusion that Jesus is coming soon. Because as I said, the kingdom of God is spiritual and we need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. We need understanding from the Holy Spirit. So we need to know the scriptures. We need to be in the scriptures. We need to be in prayer in the Lord. The kingdom of God concerns is spiritual and it's characterized by truth and witnessing for the truth, the witness to the truth, and it's all about Jesus coming to set up his kingdom. I say these things that we might be encouraged. We mightn't know much about what's going on in the world, these various things that I've, this list of things that I've mentioned. But we do know in the church, we do know in the church that there is pressure against us, spiritual pressure against us to prevent us coming together, to prevent us walking with God just in our own individual walk with God day by day. Pressure against us in terms of false teaching and false prophecy, all sorts of confusing things. We know this. And the Lord is watching us and watching over us and keeping us by His Spirit. We do not realize just how much the hand of the Lord is upon us and keeping us, keeping our hearts, keeping our minds. And so I say this to encourage us to continually to be in His Word, reading Scriptures regularly, to be meditating in the Scriptures, to be praying, to be waiting on the Lord. And when things come against us, when we hear about dramas, political dramas or meteorological dramas or all the rest of it, to not be worried, but to just turn our eyes to the Lord Jesus. Turn our eyes to the Lord. Lord, I'm looking to You. If there's something I need to know here, something I need to understand, to live for You, to be a witness to the truth in my life, in my small circle of life, Lord, show me. Otherwise, help me just to keep my eyes on You and walk with You. This is the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank You that You have spoken very clearly to us in Your Word and indicated to us, Lord, that there is an eternal purpose in God and that we are part of that and that You have taken us up into Yourself and You have included us in that purpose. And we bless You today, Father, and thank You that at this time in history, we live and serve You. Father, we look to You and wait upon You that You might guide our hearts, guide our thoughts, guide our thinking, that, Lord, we may be close to You and walk closely with You and know that the hand of our God is upon us and know what we should do and have an understanding of the times, Father. Help us, Lord, to be like those servants You spoke of that serve You faithfully and know how to feed others with food suitable for them. That, Lord, when we encounter others who do not know You, or others, Lord, who are our brothers and sisters but who are struggling and in confusion, that we, Father, might have that comforting word, that strengthening word, that we might have an understanding, Lord, and be able to come alongside others. And Lord, when we ourselves find ourselves struggling or facing difficult things, Lord, help us to look to You and to listen to You and to walk in the truth. As You said, those that are of the truth hear My voice. We need and want to hear Your voice continually, Father, day by day. And we thank You, Lord, that You promised, My sheep hear My voice. We are Your sheep. And we praise You that You do speak to our hearts, Lord, and encourage us. And so, Lord, as we look to You this week, this day, this week, Lord, we look with hope and expectation that we're going to walk day by day with You and that You're going to share Your heart with us as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen.